worth it. Well, good morning. For those of you that don't know who I am, I'm Craig. I get the pleasure of leading worship around here, working with students, doing a little bit of everything, and it's all a blast. But this morning, I had to do something a little different and get to share kind of what God's put on my heart for you guys this morning. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about a few things this morning. I'll try to stay away from this as much as I can, but I feel like God downloaded some stuff to me that I just really want to hit well. So if you see me kind of jumping on this, that's why. I really want to say it well, and as God kind of laid it on my heart. But I have a question for you to get off right off the bat. How many of you feel really well rested right now? There's a couple. All right, cool. Okay, just raise those hands up a little higher. Yeah, good. We're just trying to get a tally of who doesn't have kids in the house right now. Welcome, teams. If you could jot them down, we're going to hit you with some babysitting needs in a little bit. I got a few more show of hands questions for you guys as we get started. How many of you have ever slept a lot, like full night's sleep, maybe even 10, 12 hours, and you still woke up kind of feeling not, you're tired. You're still kind of, yeah, whew, a lot of you. All right, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. How many of you have ever come to the end of an evening, right, and you pull the covers back, you nestle into bed, you're all covered. It feels great, right? Everything, the pillow's perfect, you nailed it, and then you just feel like you toss and turn for hours. Yeah, I've been there. Definitely. It's not great. Don't do that. I don't recommend it. How many of you have ever had that wonderful sensation when you, like, wake up naturally? Maybe you're, like, on a camping trip in a tent in the fresh air. There's no alarms. There's no nothing. Or just any kind of morning where you've just, this morning, whoa, dang. Everyone talk to her. She's got this. This is, wow. I want to feel that. But where you just woke up so refreshed, where you, like, really felt like, that was a good sleep and I'm ready for my day. Yeah, that's great. I felt that sometimes. How many of you have ever spent some serious time, like, idle, non-productive? You're, like, just vegging out, hanging out. There's no work to do. You're kind of doing a whole lot of nothing, right? And at the end of that, you felt, like, exhausted, and you're like, I just want to sleep. Anybody? Yeah. How many of you have ever, like, got off a vacation that way, and you're like, oh, man, I just need to go to bed? So, quick aside on that, my wife, Hannah, who many of you know, she's back in kids. She had hernia surgery about a week and a few days ago, and part of that recovery, she's fine, by the way, everything went really well, better than expected even, on the doctor's side, but the recovery's still the recovery, and so for the first 3 days, it was on Friday, so the weekend and Monday, she basically just had to stay in bed. Like, we had to force her, and if you know her, she doesn't do that. She doesn't like that at all. No. So she had to stay in bed. We brought her food. You know, she could watch some Netflix, read some books, and slept a lot, right? She was sleeping a lot, resting a lot. And so on Tuesday, she had come down, and she was kind of like getting back into a little bit of a normal routine, walking around the kitchen, and she just looks at me and goes, babe, I am so exhausted. I'm tired. Like, isn't that weird? Like, all she did was sleep and rest, and yet you can still feel exhausted and feel tired. So there's some disconnect there between sleep and feeling well-rested. But I got one more question. How many of you feel like you've been chasing rest for quite a long time, but you rarely catch up with it? I've been there. Have you ever been there in life? Maybe you're not now. Where you're just like, man, I just feel like I'm exhausted a lot. Yeah. So I'm really glad you came today. My TED Talk on sleep habits is going to change your life. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. That's not a good idea. But I am going to talk about rest today. And you can, I'm going to do a pun like Andy would. Rest assured. You're not the only one who has found rest elusive. We're gonna throw back to Hebrews right now. Hebrews 4, you can open it up. If you have your Disciples' Bibles, it's on page 1920. If not, it'll be on the screen, or you can just listen. But I'm just going to read this to you. This is Paul speaking. Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, he's talking about Old Testament Israelites, they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. He has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and I just want to, Paul, writer of most of the New Testament, just said, he said somewhere, he didn't know the reference, he didn't reference the verse, he's like, somewhere in Scripture it said, I love that about Paul, and that should be a reassurance to us, like, hey, you don't always have to know the Scripture and verse, but you can know what God said, you can know that, like, hey, I know he said this somewhere, even though I can't quote you the verse. Don't feel bad. Share it anyways, because Paul did. He said, it said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day, today, saying, through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, another quick aside, Joshua, he kind of took up the mantle after Moses of leading the Israelites to the promised land. They were wandering a really long time. But there was a lot of turmoil. The Israelites kept like obeying a little and then going their own way and obeying a little and going their way. And Joshua really couldn't rein them all the way in. So that's kind of who Joshua is. He was trying really hard to help the Israelites do God's will, and they were a little, you know, peoply and struggled, right? So for if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. So what Paul's ultimately doing here is we're seeing him call us to rest. He's calling us now. And it's a rest that we see that others have missed out on. Like we got some clear pictures of Israelites just missing out on this opportunity. But that's why there's still an opportunity, because it hasn't been done. It hasn't been fulfilled. So he's saying now is the time. So we see some warnings that come from Israel's past failures. And this reference to Joshua takes us back to these Israelites that missed out on the promised land. Actually, a whole generation missed out on going into the promised land, which is where they would have rested. So we start to see a clearer picture of what Paul is talking about when he says rest, and how do we get that rest? How do we attain it? So for the Israelites, as we said, it's a place. It's the promised land. It was literally a physical set of borders, basically Canaan at the time. That was where they were going to find rest, and it was going to be a place where they would find plenty and peace and abundance and hope and permanence and safety and a respite from their wandering. They were going to get to this place, and it was going to be, everything was done. The toil was over. It wasn't sleep. It wasn't like, one day I'm going to let you guys sleep. No, they slept. And even when they missed out on the promised land, they still had opportunities to not work and slow down and camp for a while and not wander. They had breaks from all of that. And yet we see that those attempts at rest were just not sufficient. They weren't what God had for them, and they knew it. They were just discontent, and it wasn't enough. And even when they practiced them well, they just didn't make up for the promise. So how did they get that rest? Well, better yet, how did they miss out on it? How did they fail to get it? And it comes down to some pretty basic things, and I'm going to list them as the enemies of rest. But it's unbelief, lack of faith, and disobedience. That's what kept them out of rest. That's what kept them out of the promised land. And you can read lack of faith kind of as not trusting God's word, because you can believe in God. They did. They believe that the Israelites definitely believed God was there. He was real. But then when he told them to do things, when he expressed his will for them, hey, go do this, get this out of your life, get these people out of your life, because they're going to wreck the rest I have for you, they were like, nah. Right? So lack of faith can be read as not trusting God's word, even though they knew he was who he said he was. They were aware of him, they believed in him, but they didn't trust him. But what didn't get them rest was like, and the path to rest wasn't better routines or better diet or making more time for me. This rest was something bigger. It was something better than those things could achieve. And it was something more lasting. It was achieved also by very different means. So we find that true rest, through receiving it as a gift from God, through our faith and belief, is followed by our obedience. That's what Paul is trying to get them to, trying to get us to in this time. So the cool thing here is that the obedience Paul is calling us to is not some like laundry list of things we have to do and like all these perfect ways we have to live. He's basically saying the obedience piece here is driving out our reliance on self and our own abilities and on the world or on our circumstances, and putting our reliance and trust in Jesus. Jesus, who now offers us not just the rest of the promised land, right? The promised land was a temporary place, temporary borders that could be taken over and all this stuff. Jesus now offers us rest in the inbreaking kingdom of God. So many of you have maybe heard this in past series or us say the words, the now and not yet. The kingdom of God is, based on scripture, breaking in now. It is here, but it is not yet fully realized. So we get to live in it, but we don't get to live in the fullness of it all the time. But that's where we now find our rest, in a permanent kingdom that is ever growing and coming all the time. So that's what Paul is calling us into here. That's the door Jesus opened up. So we have a rest that is far beyond the promised land rest. And this inbreaking kingdom is borderless, and it's infinite, and it's permanent, and it's now. It's the now and not yet. So we already get to step into it. So we see in verse 7, Paul's talking about today. He says, God set another time for entering his rest, and that time is today. That means now, which I think is really cool. The offer of rest is extended now, not when things slow down or, you know, when I get better at time management or when I get rid of this dang job that I don't like or when the kids grow out of this phase or when the kids grow out of the house, right? We think there's rest somewhere down the line, but the offer is now. God's offer for rest is now, and it's not circumstantial. It's now. And so it's not the removal of problems or the increase of idleness or sleep. It's not based on those things. It's the peace, provision, assurance, or if we look at what the promised land was to the Israelites, it's the plenty, the abundance, the safety, the permanence, the respite from toil and wandering. That is offered to us now, in spite of circumstances, not in lieu of them, right? So it comes in the midst of our circumstances, our problems, our labors, our concerns. That's what God has to offer us, which is really a lot cooler than fixing some little habits in our life that will make us somehow feel better, right? He's saying, no, I can carry you through everything the world throws at you and give you rest in spite of it. So we see here this call to the promise of rest that God provides, that it's not mere sleep, it's not just slowing down, but it's a large-scale rest gifted to us from a loving God. That's what Paul is calling us into. And it's unhindered by circumstances. It comes from knowing God, trusting him, and allowing him control of our lives. And it's this release of mental toil for his will. We're trading our anxieties, we're trading our plans for his will, and just really accepting him fully. So how do we do this? How do we embrace this idea of belief, trust, and obedience? Because it's a broad idea, right? But there's got to be some hows. And it seems simple. I've answered it several times. Like I said, believe, trust God, and obey him. Like that seems simple. But I know we kind of need probably a little bit more of a how-to, a little bit more of a pathway. And the good news is we have it all over Scripture, and we have it in the life of Jesus. So let me start by giving you a surefire way to actually miss this rest. That's the starting point, is how do we miss it? We can miss it really easy by putting our faith in ourself or in the world, right? And the worst part about that is that as soon as you put your faith in the world and yourself, you're already thinking about when it will fail, right? Because we know, we have a history as people and humans of people letting us down. When's this job going to end? When am I going to screw up and they're not going to like me anymore? When's this relationship going to backfire in my face? Right? So even when we have the promise of something good on the world side of things, we're always kind of wondering when will it fail. So we don't ever get to rest, do we? We're always kind of in that unassured place. God's not going to fail us. His rest is assured, and it's not going to let us down. So when we receive our rest from our own efforts, we find ourselves never satisfied, right? We kind of run on our own ambition, and our discontentment gets in the way, and the carrot the world holds out in front of us that just propels us forward and keeps us never being content and never truly at rest because we're toiling over what we might be missing, how we might have messed it up, or what might be coming down the line. Or we're just simply waiting for that next time. Oh, when this happens, when that happens, when this life stage comes, then I will be at rest, right? We're always waiting. That's what we do when we put our faith and trust in the world and our own self. But God says when he completed his work on the sixth day, the seventh day, he rested, right? And many would say that the seventh day is kind of the state God and all of us are still living in, right? He created it in six, and the seventh day he started to enjoy it. And he didn't, like, spend the seventh day, like, worrying about and toiling over whether he missed something. He simply enjoyed it and said it was good. It was done. It was good. And his will for you is good. So we're called into this rest, the seventh day rest, and we're to enjoy and rest in a life lived in pursuit of him and his perfect will for us, because it's good. So back to the how. The pathway to more belief, trust, faith, obedience, and therefore rest is often found in disciplines or rhythms, if that word sounds a little less intense, right? But it's these rhythms that help us to gain intimacy with God and remind us of his goodness, his promises, and his love for his kids, right? We can't just hear that once and be like, that's probably true. Because then something bad happens and we're like, I don't know. Does God really like me? Because that sucked. I didn't like that, right? So we need to be in rhythms that remind us of who he is and what he wants for his kids. So rhythms like prayer, like Sabbath. Sabbath is kind of like what we're doing now. We're coming on a routine basis to gather with other believers and to spend time with God in that form. It's retreats or a retreat lifestyle where we go away or something like sabbatical. And sabbatical is kind of this thing where you step away from normal routines and normal responsibilities and you're relinquished of those to focus on something that will benefit those but is not directly related to them. So some of you guys know this from schools and stuff like that. They go away. It's still going to benefit the school when they come back because they've grown, but it's not dictated by your job or your school, right? Sabbatical is getting away from normal to focus on something bigger and better. So in the context of sabbatical and faith, it's to get away to focus on solely God. But all these things may seem a bit daunting, right? Like, oh, just pray and retreat and get away and slow down. Like, yeah, that seems easy, right? It's a little bit daunting, but we are in fact called to a life of continual prayer. And when I say continual prayer, does anyone go like, exactly that mean? So prayer is talking with God, right? Don't overblow the word prayer because it's literally talking to God. He wants to hear from you. He wants to speak to you. You're his kids. So a life of continual prayer means always talking to him. And we see in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, it says here, this, it gives this call pretty clearly. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So, again, a big call, right? We're going to read it again in a second, but I want to call out a couple things. One, it says we're not to do it alone. We're doing it in the power of Jesus Christ. Because we have him, we now have access to talk to God all the time. We have something to rejoice for all the time. We have infinite opportunity to be grateful and give thanks. It's not easy on our own because we see the brokenness of the world. We see our own struggles. But when we have God in mind, it gives us this opportunity. So it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So that's a pretty big how, and it's a pretty big call. But we're not just left with that. The scripture doesn't just throw that at us and say, good luck. We have a really cool model of this. Jesus, all throughout his time on earth, modeled what this looks like. He modeled it all the way through the New Testament. He was diligent. He diligently and routinely, as well as spontaneously and religiously, pursued God and talked with his Father, right? And some of those seem kind of at odds. Spontaneous and religious seem at odds. But Jesus did both. He not only observed the Sabbath, right? He came weekly from young age and all the way into his adult ministry, came to the temple every week. He was religious about meeting with God in that way. And he didn't do the Sabbath the way they did it. They got really mad at him because he like loved people and healed people on the Sabbath. And they were like, no, don't do that, right? But he was religious. He went to engage God in the Sabbath, always. Like, that was something he modeled to us. But he also retreated away. He spent time in quiet with God. We see him do this with the disciples. Like, he would leave the crowds and get away with them and decompress and just go to be with God. But we also see him even retreat from those apostles to just be alone with God. We see that in the garden before the cross. Like, he just goes away to talk to the Father, his Father, our Father, alone. And we also see times where he takes just a couple of them and they retreat away to commune with God in a different way. So he's doing this all throughout Scripture. But another way he does it is he's giving thanks often. When he gave thanks around some loaves and fishes, it was weird. They fed 5,000 people, right? Like, but he gave thanks often. He lived this call. And at the end of the day, he was always looking for what his Father was doing. So he's always pursuing the Father, which is a huge model to us. So they're not just calling us to this. Scripture's not just calling us to this. Jesus modeled this for us, what that looks like. Even in the midst of all he was doing, he sometimes, like we said, a sabbatical was, he sometimes left the ministry he was doing. And think about his ministry, right? Everywhere he went, he was healing and teaching the best news that ever anyone's ever heard. He was the coolest teacher that ever existed, aside from me. No, that was totally horrible. I'm just kidding. But he was doing amazing things, right? And yet he still said, hey, we're going to go. I need to get away with my dad. We need to talk. Like, so even in the midst of really good things, it's still important to just go and be with God. And that's a hard thing for us because we all have a lot of things going on that we've planned, that we care about deeply. If you have a family, you know that's just expounded tenfold. But it's still important to go away and be with God, even when good things are happening right in front of you. So if we want to experience the rest that God offers us, it's time to get diligent about upping the time we spend with God, in big ways and in small ways. So as I wrap up, I want to share something cool, because we as a church, we strive to pursue this rest as well as we can. We're not great at it. Nobody really is perfect at it. But we don't only preach about rest. We try to work it into our DNA. So I get the cool opportunity to go on a sabbatical in the coming weeks for about 40 days of sabbatical rest. And it's a really cool opportunity. And many of you might remember over 5 years ago, Andy took a sabbatical. And it's a really cool time to pause and step away from really good things. Andy had a really hard time stepping away from all the good things that were happening here. We had just gotten a building, momentum was going, we were growing, and yet it was still the right move to step away to just be with God. It's a really hard thing to do, but so I get this benefit, I get this cool opportunity to do this, and what's cool is, like, Jesus did this in small routines, but he also did it in really big rhythms, in broader rhythms, and sometimes that meant stepping away, right? We had to step away from really great things to spend dedicated time resting with God. And so it's without agendas and to-dos and responsibilities. And to be clear, this time isn't about, like, skills or continuing education or some specific set of things, although those things are all going to happen. That's the cool benefit of resting with God, is he builds on everything you are and who you are. But it's about recognizing the need to spend dedicated, intentional time with God. And so I'll tell you, for me, anytime I spend significant, intentional time away with God, my ability to not only hear his voice, but to obey his voice just ratchets up, right? The more intimacy and closeness and relational connectedness I have to the Father, the more I am able to hear his words and the more confident I am in trusting them, right? Because I've been in the trenches with him. I've been talking to him. I'm close to him. I know his promises. I know what he's about. So anytime I've spent any length of time intentionally pursuing him away, it just ratchets up my awareness and my obedience. But this is for all of us. It's not about a certain amount of time or definitely getting away for 40 days or there's no magic number, right? This is about beginning now. As Paul put it so eloquently, today. The rest is available for us today, and we shouldn't miss it, right? Today is when we should start spending more time talking to God, growing our faith and trust in who he is, and the promises he has for each of us. We don't wait on this. We go for it now. So let me wrap up by saying this. His rest surpasses any rest we can achieve on our own. And it stands in the face of the world and all the problems we have. It comes in this cool way. Many have said it's some kind of, like, peace that passes understanding. Rest is this. The rest God offers is that. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but we carry it, and it changes our life. So a quick illustration of this. Many who know me would kind of define me as a guy who's like kind of happy-go-lucky, go with the flow, doesn't get rattled too much, doesn't really seem down or tired often. Like, I'm pretty much just kind of, I'm good, right? I feel good most of the time. And I like that. I like that people think that of me, and I like that I feel that way 90% of the time. That's kind of who I am. But I want to let you know that's not from my great sleep habits. I have none. I do not have good sleep habits. It's not from my, like, perfect life and everything I've figured out about how to just get rest well and get good balance in life. Like, I'm not good at that either. I'm not great at time management. I don't have a super relaxed life. I have two kids and a job, and we're moving, and, like, life's crazy, right? So it doesn't come from these things that I've done, right? It's come from a relentless pursuit of what God has for me, his promises, and a relentless pursuit of trusting him more. And I'll tell you, I'm not even good at that. I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not good at that. I still get caught up in my own junk. I still focus on my abilities in the world and what it can give me and who might help me. I still get caught up in that stuff. So this pursuit that I talk about, it could probably be better stated as practice, right? You just continually practice. No matter what you do, you're always practicing at whatever that is. And the cool thing about practicing pursuing God is that you're not getting to an endpoint where you're finally an expert and you're a pro, right? He starts day one. If you practice, he does his part. He comes in and fulfills his promises. He doesn't wait for you to get good. He honors the effort, right? Because you can practice really hard and still not make the team, right? Anybody ever missed a team that you were like, I want to be on it. I practiced every day. And I still can't make a free throw. That was me, sorry. God honors the effort, not the result. And so for me, that's what it's been. God's been faithful to love me and pour out grace on me, even in my broken efforts, my broken pursuit. He just comes in and does it. So it's really cool because I get this rest through not a lot of effort of my own, and it's all because of God, just because I choose to pursue him and trust in him. So go ahead and pull out your Connect cards. We're going to wrap up a couple things a little differently, but I want to walk you through some next steps. And the first is this, and it's always our first next step because it's the key to all of this. No matter what we're preaching on, no matter what wisdom we might share, if you don't believe and accept and receive Jesus Christ, it's not enough. And what's really cool about this is one of my favorite examples of someone receiving the gift of Jesus was the thief on the cross. He did it at the last minute. He just simply acknowledged who Jesus was, and Jesus was like, all right, then you're coming with me. Eternity just got sealed for you with me. But I want to read the end of Hebrews 4 here. It's not going to be on the screen or anything, but I think it's a great testament to why we should do next step one. And this isn't like a, like, I just got to check a box thing. This is a lifelong pursuit of Jesus, a walk with him, but you can accept him now. You can start that now, just as Paul said in verse 7, today is the time we enter his rest. But at the end here, it says in verse 14, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's pretty cool. Like, that's why. Why accept Jesus? Because he is not some God who doesn't understand our life. No, he's been tempted in the way we are. He came to earth. He suffered. He died. He didn't sin. And he offers us mercy and grace in our time of need. That's the why, right? We step into this by accepting who he is and inviting him into our life. So if you've never made that step, make it. I challenge you to do it. It's going to be a wild ride, and it's going to be worth it. And if you do check that on your Connect card, because we don't want you to go this alone. You're supposed to do this in community. Jesus did it in community. We might as well. But I'd love for you to do that. If you haven't, today's a great day to do that. Next step number two, we need to start combating unbelief with trust and obedience. We need to take on the call of 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. We need to take that call on today. That's, what do we say, the number one enemy to rest is? Unbelief, right? And we combat that with pressing into God. So the next step is begin talking with God daily. Whatever it may look like, you may have never done this before. You can do it in your head. You can do it out loud. You can do it whatever. You can say really great things. You can express your frustrations to God. But talk to him. You don't have to be like, God, you're amazing all the time. You might be like, God, I'm really ticked at you. Things haven't been going the way I thought. You don't feel like the good God, the good Father you say you are. See what he says in response to that. He's not going to squish you and smite you. He's going to love you back into relationship and show you just how good a father he is. So talk to him, whatever that looks like. Talk to him starting today. The third next step is going to be receive prayer. It's a big one. I think one of the most important things we can do is allow people that know God and trust the Holy Spirit to partner with the Holy Spirit to minister to us. And I just encourage you to just see how much an encounter with the Holy Spirit will do to enhance the rest of your life, will do to bring you in to the rest God offers. So the prayer teams will be up here and back there, and all throughout the worship at the end here, this ministry time, they'll be available. And if any of these things have struck a little chord or a little nerve, like, go do it. Go get prayer. They're going to partner with the Holy Spirit to minister to you. You only win in that scenario. And the fourth next step is our memory verse, which is super fitting for what we've just talked about. Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, you could say rest, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. So make that a next step. Write that on your heart. Maybe write 1 Thessalonians 5 on your hearts as well. Well, our teams are going to come around with the offering buckets right now. So if you have any offerings, throw those in there. But more importantly, get your Connect cards in there. If you've taken a next step today, we want to partner with you. And we want to get you connected with all the information you need to be a part of any of that. And if you have a communion cup, if you grab one on your way in, hang on to that. You can pull that out. If you don't have one, you're welcome to grab one. They're back by the door. But this is a reminder of the immense act of love Jesus endured for us and continues to pour out on us. And it's another reminder of our unbreakable connection to him. So you're going to be able to take that as we enter into ministry time in just a minute. But I want to shift gears just a second. I want to spend some time now pursuing the rest, because Paul said do it today. And it kind of makes no sense for us to just talk about stuff and then say, get out of here, right? Like, we should do it. We can do it now. There's nothing holding us back from doing it now. So I want to take some time to remind ourselves of some of the things Jesus promises us, some of the I will statements of Jesus, and letting those promises build our trust and our faith and our obedience by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want everyone to take a physical posture of rest. Like, lay down on your neighbor. Don't do that. That's weird. But I want you to get comfortable. Put your stuff down. Don't have anything you're going to drop. Or just get in a place where you feel comfortable. And I'm going to encourage you to close your eyes and just begin to listen. Just rest. And I want to challenge you right now, as your eyes are closed, to just either in your heart, or if you want to speak it out loud, believe it or not, prayer can happen from multiple voices in one room, and it's not that crazy or chaotic, because God hears us all. But in your heart or out loud, just ask God right now to speak to you and to strengthen your faith in him, that you might trust his promises and be better encouraged and equipped to obey. Ask him that he would just pour out his rest on you like the free gift it is. eyes closed. I'm just going to read some of the statements of Jesus over us right now. Holy Spirit, just come in power as I read these statements. Solidify them in the hearts of everyone in this room. God, as we sang earlier, that you just hover over the waters and you rest upon your creation, and we're part of that. So God, I just pray that your spirit would rest heavy right now as we embrace the promises you've made. Jesus says, I will give you salvation. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. I will use you. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He doesn't require us to have certain education or personality. We're merely called to follow him, and he will. I will guide you. I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He's with us. I will give you rest. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you the Holy Spirit. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? I will give you the promise of eternity. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back to take you with me, to be with me that you may also be where I am. With us. Jesus says, I will be with you. As we enter into some more worship and some ministry time, I would encourage you, honestly, right now, to just stay where you're at. Stay in this place of rest. Even keep your eyes closed as the words are sung. But if any of those I will statements, if any of those promises of God, you either are like, I want to know that more, or I don't feel that, I don't believe that. That's what I would encourage you to go to the prayer teams, to allow them to partner with the Holy Spirit, to minister that to you. Because they're truth, and they're important, and they will change your life. Let me just pray for all of us. Jesus, I just ask more of your blessing on everyone in this room. God, that they would experience your rest now, today. God, that we wouldn't sleep on this, we wouldn't wait on this rest, we would pursue it just as Paul called us to go now. God, I ask that you would just give each of us a moment in your presence right now, God, where we feel complete rest. I ask that your spirit would fall heavy on everyone here. Father, I ask that your kingdom would just come more and more. God, as we pursue the new promised land that we already get to be a part of, God, that you would just pour out mercy and grace and rest on us. We love you, Father.